Welcome back to the Crypto Daily. Today we're diving into FTX's lawsuit against Binance, a saga with more twists and turns than a Satoshi-inspired cypherpunk novel.
Indeed, this $1.76 billion lawsuit centers around a 2021 share repurchase deal where Binance sold its FTX stake back to SBF using FTX and Binance-branded crypto. FTX claims this was fraudulent, asserting they were already insolvent, making the deal unlawful.
It's fascinating because this deal predates FTX's collapse by over a year. Are they suggesting Binance was aware of FTX's insolvency back then?
The filing doesn't explicitly state that, but the implication is certainly there. It raises the question of due diligence. Did Binance adequately investigate FTX's financials before the deal, or were there red flags they ignored?
It also adds another layer to the already complex relationship between SBF and CZ. This wasn't just a market rivalry. There were significant financial dealings between them. And now with SBF behind bars, this lawsuit throws a wrench into Binance's operations.
Absolutely. Binance denies the claims, calling them meritless. But this lawsuit creates uncertainty. Will it impact Binance's regulatory standing? Will it affect user trust? These are open questions.
This case is a prime example of how interconnected the crypto ecosystem is. A tremor in one part can send shockwaves throughout the entire system. We'll continue to follow this story closely. Let's shift gears and talk about Bitcoin's potential in the DeFi space. Several developments suggest it might be poised for a significant leap forward.
Yes, the narrative around Bitcoin being just a store of value is being challenged. Upgrades like OPCAT and projects like Rooch Network are pushing the boundaries of what's possible on the Bitcoin blockchain.
OPCAT, this resurrected piece of code from Satoshi himself, seems to be gaining serious traction. The potential for roll-ups and expanded smart contract functionality is intriguing.
It's a double-edged sword. Some argue that sidechains are sufficient for scaling Bitcoin and that OPCAT introduces unnecessary risk. But proponents like Eli Ben Sasson believe it's the key to unlocking true scalability, envisioning Starknet settling on both Bitcoin and Ethereum.
The debate highlights a fundamental question. How much should Bitcoin's core protocol be altered? Is it worth the risk to potentially unlock a whole new level of functionality?
The risk assessment is crucial. $1 million research grant is a good start, but the famously cautious Bitcoin community will need thorough convincing. And then there's Rooch Network, building a native application layer on Bitcoin, aiming to sidestep the security and privacy concerns associated with many L2 solutions.
Rooch's stackable L2 approach is an interesting attempt to bridge the gap between Bitcoin's security and the flexibility of dApps. It's all about finding that sweet spot between innovation and preserving the core principles of Bitcoin.
The long-term sustainability of Bitcoin's security model is another factor. As block rewards diminish, transaction fees become increasingly important. A thriving L2 ecosystem fueled by DeFi activity could be crucial for securing the network's future.
It's a complex landscape, but these developments suggest that Bitcoin's role in the future of DeFi might be much larger than many currently anticipate. Shifting gears, Jiva Technologies is partnering with Kalecoin to create a wellness-focused cryptocurrency. This seems like a very niche market. Is there really a demand for this?
It's definitely a niche play, but Jiva and Kalecoin are betting on the convergence of wellness and crypto. They're aiming to create a tokenized ecosystem where users can earn rewards for healthy choices and businesses can tap into a community of health-conscious consumers. Think of it as a loyalty program on the blockchain, but with a charitable twist, as a portion of transactions will go towards eco-friendly causes.
So, it's gamifying wellness with a financial incentive. But how does this differ from existing fitness trackers or wellness apps that offer rewards?
The key difference is decentralization. Kalecoin aims to create a more open and transparent system where users have more control over their data and rewards. Plus, the charitable aspect adds another layer of appeal for ethically minded consumers.
The partnership with Nemanja Golubovic, the influencer behind Kale My Name, is interesting. They're clearly leveraging his existing audience to jumpstart adoption.
Influencer marketing is crucial in the crypto space, especially for a niche project like this. Golubovic's following aligns perfectly with their target demographic, so it's a smart move. The real challenge will be demonstrating real-world utility and building a sustainable ecosystem beyond the initial hype.
It's a bold experiment. We'll have to see if this wellness crypto fusion gains traction. It's certainly a unique approach. The Bitcoin Act aims to have the U.S. Treasury hold 1 million bitcoins. It's a bold move, but is it feasible? What are the potential implications?
It's certainly ambitious. The bill mandates acquiring 200,000 BTC annually for 5 years, funded by reducing Federal Reserve surplus funds and allocating a portion of their earnings. This scale of acquisition could significantly impact Bitcoin's price.
The bill also mandates a 20-year holding period. That's a long-term commitment. What's the rationale behind that?
It likely signals a strategic view of Bitcoin as a long-term asset, perhaps even a reserve currency play. The extended holding period could also mitigate concerns about the government manipulating the market through large-scale selling.
It's interesting that Senator Lummis referred to this as our Louisiana purchase moment. Is that hyperbole, or is there a valid comparison?
It's a strong statement, but it reflects the potential magnitude of this move. If Bitcoin continues its trajectory, acquiring 1 million BTC could be seen as a prescient strategic decision, similar to the Louisiana purchase expanding U.S. territory.
The political landscape around this is fascinating. The crypto PACs targeting Senator Brown and his subsequent loss to Bernie Moreno, a blockchain company chairman, highlight the growing influence of the crypto industry.
Absolutely. This also underscores the potential for conflicts of interest as crypto gains more political clout. It will be crucial to ensure transparency and ethical conduct in this evolving landscape.
David Bailey's point about other nations potentially front-running the U.S. is intriguing. Is there a real risk of a global Bitcoin arms race?
It's a possibility. If countries view Bitcoin as a strategic asset, there could be a rush to acquire it, potentially driving up the price further. The U.S. government's actions in this space could set a precedent for other nations.
So, Infinex is planning to list the top 500 crypto assets and launch its V2 platform in early 2025. Quite a leap from supporting just 100 tokens currently.
It's a significant expansion, signaling Infinex's ambition to become a major player in the DeFi space. Supporting the top 500 assets opens doors to a much broader user base and a wider range of trading opportunities.
The inclusion of Solana, Ethereum, and Layer 2 tokens is expected, but what about Bitcoin and Litecoin? Any timeline for their integration?
Kane Warwick mentioned that integrating legacy chains might take longer due to their different architectures. It's a technical hurdle, but one they'll likely overcome given their commitment to expansion.
The V2 upgrade also sounds promising, especially the improvements to integration cadence. Moving from months to weeks for integrating platforms like OpenSea and Blur is a game changer.
The introduction of the Vault and Hot Wallet system seems to be the key. It allows for faster integrations while maintaining security. It's a smart approach to balancing speed and safety.
Infinex's aggressive roadmap suggests they are aiming for substantial growth. It'll be interesting to see how this impacts the DeFi landscape and the competition.
Indeed. This move could put pressure on other DeFi platforms to innovate and expand their offerings. It will be a fascinating development to watch.
So let's talk Bitcoin. A CoinGecko analysis suggests a £100 investment in 2014 would be worth nearly £30,000 today. That's a staggering 2,054% increase over a decade.
It's a compelling example of Bitcoin's potential, but it's crucial to acknowledge the volatility. The same analysis shows significant drops of 73% and 64% in previous years. It's a high-risk, high-reward scenario.
Absolutely. And this brings us to the cautionary tale of James Howells, who allegedly lost 7,500 bitcoins in a landfill. He's now battling in court for permission to excavate it, a fortune estimated around £495 million. It underscores the importance of secure storage in the crypto world.
His story is almost a parable for the crypto space. Immense potential gains, coupled with the very real risk of devastating loss. It's a reminder that technological proficiency is just one aspect of navigating this landscape.
It's a complex equation. Technological understanding, risk tolerance, and perhaps a bit of luck. Howell's situation certainly highlights the non-technical risks that can impact even the most substantial crypto holdings.
Precisely. And it raises questions about the future of asset recovery in the digital age. As these technologies evolve, so too will the challenges and opportunities surrounding lost or inaccessible digital assets.
Moving on, Hive Digital Technologies just announced a major purchase of 6,500 Canaan Avalon A5066 ASIC miners, along with an update on their Paraguay expansion. This seems like a significant move, particularly given the current market conditions.
Indeed, Hive is clearly doubling down on Bitcoin mining, and the choice of the Avalon A1566 is strategic. These miners boast 185 per second with an efficiency of 16.5 J/TH, which should significantly improve their overall hash rate and lower operating costs.
They're aiming for 6 EH per sec by March 2025, then up to 12.5 EH per second once the Paraguay facility is fully operational. That's a substantial increase from their current 5.6 EH per second.
It's an ambitious plan, but the phased rollout, starting with 500 units this week, suggests a measured approach. Their emphasis on ROI under both bull and bear market conditions indicates a focus on long-term sustainability.
And the Paraguay expansion, powered by green energy, aligns with the growing emphasis on sustainable crypto mining. It's interesting to see how Hiveve is positioning itself not just as a Bitcoin play, but also as a sustainable infrastructure provider.
Absolutely. The ESG narrative is becoming increasingly important in this space. Hive's commitment to green energy could attract investors who are looking for environmentally responsible crypto investments.
The partnership with Canaan is also noteworthy. Canaan securing this large order from a prominent player like Hive reinforces their position in the mining hardware market.
It's a symbiotic relationship. Canaan gets a major sale, and Hive gets access to cutting-edge technology to boost their mining operations. It'll be interesting to see how this partnership evolves and impacts the broader mining landscape.
So another DeFi exploit, this time Delta Prime, losing $4.8 million in ARB and AVAX. It seems like these incidents are becoming increasingly frequent.
Unfortunately, yes. While the blockchain itself is secure, the smart contracts built on top of it can be vulnerable. And in Delta Prime's case, the exploiter seemingly manipulated the liquidity pools.
PeckShield's analysis suggests the exploiter initially contributed liquidity, almost like a Trojan horse, before initiating the attack. It underscores the complexity of these exploits and the challenges in preventing them.
Exactly. And the fact that this happened across both Arbitrum and Avalanche highlights the cross-chain nature of the risk. It's not enough to secure one platform. The entire ecosystem needs to be robust.
This incident also adds to the growing tally of crypto hacks in 2024, which is on track to surpass the total value stolen in 2023, a concerning trend to say the least.
It is. And while smart contract vulnerabilities are a known risk, we're also seeing an increase in exploits targeting areas outside of smart contracts, such as private key leaks due to phishing. This diversifies the attack vectors and makes security even more challenging.
It definitely reinforces the need for robust security practices at every level, from individual users to platform developers. Multi-factor authentication, cold storage, and thorough code audits are becoming more critical than ever.
Absolutely. Education is also key. Users need to be aware of the risks and how to protect themselves. The space is evolving rapidly, and staying informed is crucial for navigating these security challenges.
Moving on, let's delve into the evolving landscape of decentralized market making in DeFi. We've seen centralized market makers exert significant influence, raising concerns about fairness and transparency. How can DeFi address these challenges?
DeFi aims to level the playing field by offering a decentralized framework for market making. Projects like ReformDAO are pioneering this approach, providing access to market-making services for projects of all sizes, not just the established giants.
ReformDAO's approach of reinvesting tokens back into its treasury rather than liquidating them sounds intriguing. How does this impact long-term liquidity?
It creates a positive feedback loop. Reinvestment fuels high-frequency trading and liquidity provision, generating revenue that's then used for buybacks of RFRM, Reform's native token, further bolstering the DAO treasury.
Their real-time trading dashboard is a step towards greater transparency, a key principle of DeFi. But how does their algorithm perform in volatile market conditions?
Reform's algorithm dynamically adjusts to market fluctuations. During Bitcoin's surge in early August, their trading engine executed millions of trades, maximizing volume and rebates. This demonstrates its ability to capitalize on volatility while providing liquidity.
So it's not just about decentralization, but also about creating a more robust and adaptable market-making ecosystem. This could inspire further innovation in DeFi.
Absolutely. Reform DAO's success could pave the way for more decentralized solutions, addressing the limitations of centralized market makers and promoting a more equitable DeFi landscape.
Let's talk about Brevis, a verifiable computing platform securing a hefty $7.5 million seed round. They're focusing on ZK proofs to bring scalability to blockchains. What's the core innovation here?
Brevis essentially allows dApps to offload heavy computations off-chain without compromising security. They use ZK proofs to verify the results on-chain, ensuring trustlessness and significant cost reduction. Think of it as a turbocharger for smart contracts.
So instead of clogging the main chain with complex calculations, you move it off-chain and just verify the outcome. That's a clever approach to scaling. But how does this differ from existing Layer 2 solutions?
Layer 2s often focus on transaction throughput. Brevis tackles computational scalability. Their ZK coprocessor lets smart contracts access and compute historical on-chain data, opening up new possibilities for dApps like dynamic incentive distribution and automated risk management.
It's interesting that they're partnering with established projects like PancakeSwap and Frax. This signals strong industry interest and potential for real-world application.
Absolutely. And their involvement with EigenLayer as an AVS further reduces ZK computation costs. It's a strategic move to enhance efficiency and attract more developers. It's like building a highway system for complex computations in the blockchain world.
This seed round, backed by Polychain and Binance Labs, validates their vision. Brevis is pushing the boundaries of what's possible with on-chain computation, and I'm eager to see how their technology reshapes the DeFi landscape. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening.